The next two presentations will be Andrew Jones from the School of Public Health at the University of Michigan. And I better not read each of the presentations so that you can actually introduce them, okay? So, welcome.
Good afternoon. I've never had this happen before where two presentations got put in the same session. So you're listening to me talk for two times in a row here. So I hope I don't put you to sleep. So, sure, that'd be fine, yeah. And if there's questions for either of them, we can talk about it. So I wanted to just acknowledge my my two co-authors for this particular paper, Yuvraj Acharya, who's a PhD in health economics. He's a student at University of Michigan, and also Lindsay Galway, who's a health geographer at Simon Fraser University in Vancouver. So the two presentations I'm going to talk about are very different, but they're also linked in some important ways, and they're really motivated by this, I have no relationship to disclose, they're really motivated by this emerging trend we're seeing, not just in high-income countries, but in low- and middle-income countries, where there's this much, much higher percentage of overweight and obesity in these countries than there was 10, 20, 30 years ago. Even in regions like Sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia, especially in Latin America. And this is sort of a recent area of research for me. Previously, I was very interested in early child growth faltering and child growth stunting, and I still am. But it's been hard to ignore some of the numbers that we see in some low-income countries. This has been driven in large part by this thing we call the nutrition transition. Diets in these countries have been converging more towards what we call Western diets, increased intakes of vegetable oils, refined foods, higher intakes of animal source foods, reduced intakes of coarse grains, legumes, etc. But one of the differences that we're seeing in this transition in low-income countries as compared to what we've seen in the West is the pace at which this has been happening. It's been occurring much, much more rapidly than we've seen in the past, and it's been happening in countries that do not have the infrastructure, the institutions oftentimes to actually be able to confront these problems. And so what we're seeing is an emerging double burden, as it's been called, sort of the co-occurrence of undernutrition, things like child stunting, micronutrient deficiencies, alongside overweight and the chronic disease risks that come along with that. And that's really the focus of this presentation, and the next is the motivation for it. So much of the research that's been done on this double burden has occurred in more middle-income countries, in Mexico and Brazil, South Africa, increasingly in India. But there's been almost no research done in very low-income countries, despite the fact that the demographic transitions that are occurring there and the nutrition transitions that are happening alongside that are also happening very rapidly. But we know very little about that. In fact, it's predicted that almost all the population growth we're going to see in the next 50 years is going to occur in low-income countries and in urban areas, not necessarily in big cities, big megacities, but in smaller cities, in towns where the populations are going to swell or increase because of rural migration or just natural population growth. So you can see here that the massive increase from the 1950s to now in terms of where the population increases are occurring and will occur. And so this has been sort of the motivation for this particular research, understanding how are urban environments potentially shaping, or not, this double burden. So my co-authors and I, we looked at this using data from many countries from Sub-Saharan Africa. We were interested in understanding what is the prevalence of this double burden, and we characterized it in two ways. One was the co-occurrence of overweight and anemia being sort of a broader marker for undernutrition, perhaps, from iron deficiency or other nutritional deficiencies, in women of childbearing age, so a woman who is concurrently overweight and anemic, and also the co-occurrence of an overweight woman of childbearing age and a stunted preschool-age child within the same household. So this idea that double burden has been looked at different scales, and this is showing two different scales, at the individual level and at the household level. And we wanted to look at not just the prevalence, but how does urbanicity, the differences in urban environments, how might it be associated with this double burden and its underlying conditions? So we use demographic and health survey data. These are publicly available data from 29 countries in Sub-Saharan Africa. We also used some georeferenced data that are available through the DHS to understand actually where these households are located. We looked at BMI's body mass index of women of childbearing age, looked at anemia based on hemoglobin concentrations in these women, And what we also looked at was the mean population density in certain countries using a separate data set, not the DHS, but a separate data set that was a high resolution population distribution data set for Africa. And what we did was we took, these are enumeration clusters. This is the way the DHS actually samples and gets its sample. These are the center points for these clusters. And we used the GIS software to create these tessellation patterns, these are called Thiessen polygons, that are generated to create sort of a catchment area around these DHS enumeration areas. So these are things that we created based on the distribution of the center points of the clusters, but these represent sort of the catchment area around these clusters. And on top of that, we overlay this population density data set to understand where is the population most dense or not in different areas of the countries. And you can see this is showing the entire data set. You see we have many countries for which we do not have data, but around Lake Victoria and Nairobi, in Kampala, in Lagos, around here, you see the very, very sort of densely populated areas. And this is this distribution is based on country-specific cutoffs. So the idea of urban might be different in Ethiopia versus Zimbabwe, right? So we used the distribution of the population for each country and created quartile cutoffs for that. So that in the data set I'll show you, it's based on country-specific cutoffs. So it's not just urban means the same thing in the entire data set. No, it means it's country-specific. So we did a multiple logistic regression to look at the association of urbanicity with both the nutritional double burden and its underlying components, meaning anemia, stunting, and overweight. And we adjusted for a number of potentially confounding factors that could also influence these outcomes. So here's the sample sizes we have. These are all the countries. We had a total of 13,000 of those clusters I showed you, and about 150,000 households, and we had about 12,000 children under five in those households. So a pretty big data set. And you can see that overwhelmingly the problem of stunting, of child stunting, in almost all the countries is much, much higher than the problem of overweight in these countries. So stunting prevalence is over 40%, over 35% is pretty common. Overweight, on the other hand, there are many countries that have over a quarter of the women of childbearing age are overweight. So it's not a small problem, it's outpaced by this problem of stunting, which is not surprising. And the same goes for anemia. Not all countries had anemia data available to us, but you can see that the prevalence of anemia in most countries is substantially higher than overweight. But again, overweight is increasingly a problem. And in some countries, it even is higher than anemia and stunting. So we did a lot of analysis for this. I'm just going to show you one table of results here. I wanted to show you in particular this variable urbanicity. So we have here overweight, anemia, and stunting as our dependent variables. And I'm showing you odds ratios. So what is the odds of being overweight if one of these independent variables? So here's urbanicity. We have, I divided the data into quartiles. So I'm calling them rural, semi-rural, peri-urban, and urban. And one of the real interesting parts of this is most data sets just look at urban and rural, don't allow you to have any sort of nuance within that. So we were able to look at what we're calling peri-urban areas and urban areas, and compared to rural areas, you can see peri-urban and urban areas, there's a higher odds of being overweight for women, there's a lower odds of being anemic for women if you're in a peri-urban area, and there's actually a higher odds of being stunted as a child in these peri-urban areas, distinct from the urban areas. So we find these differences across urban and peri-urban quite intriguing. Asset index is a measure of wealth. Higher wealth with higher odds of overweight, lower odds of stunting. Same for education. Diet diversity for kids. If you had a higher, more diverse diet, you have lower odds of stunting. So this was sort of our key finding. And then we looked at additional analyses looking at the double burden, so the combination of these two characteristics and the combination of stunting and overweight in the same household. And we found that those associations were very similar to what we see for overweight. So the overweight component of that double burden was really driving those relationships. So in conclusion, there was a high prevalence of stunting, anemia, and increasingly overweight in sub-Saharan African countries. We saw that peri-urban and urban areas were associated with an increased risk of overweight, though peri-urban areas were associated with an increased risk of stunting, which was distinct from urban areas, which we didn't see that association. And I mentioned there was this increased risk of the double burden in both peri-urban and urban areas, likely driven by overweight. And I won't go into this. This is a separate finding that we had. I didn't show you the analysis that was sort of showing that in West Africa in particular, there's more reason to believe that these conditions are starting to overlap. And I can discuss that afterwards if you have any questions about that. But basically, I think the next step here would be to some additional research to understand the nutritional risk across these gradients of urbanicity, which really there's been very, very little research on that. And we know that peri-urban areas in particular are going to be an increasing area where we have a lot of low-income populations moving to in the next 30 to 50 years. And it seems likely that the nutritional risk patterns are going to be overlapping in those areas. All right. The DHS has sort of a standard wealth index that it uses. It does what's called a principal components analysis. It brings together a number of different variables that maybe point to wealth, things like occupation, things like it does use assets, so the number of assets households has, and it brings them together into a score. We used a modified version of that. We pulled out things like water and sanitation access and just used the assets. From that, so it's one way of measuring socioeconomic status. Yeah. Yes. Lindsay Galway used ArcGIS. Yeah, and I think there's actually a command called create Thiessen polygons, which she used to actually create those tessellations. I didn't come up with it. There was research done in the early 2000s, actually throughout the 2000s, looking at this phenomenon of, you know, how is it possible that there's an overweight adult in a household and a child who is stunted? It seems like that's pulling in different directions. And so they looked at this and they found it was quite a prevalent phenomenon in many countries. More recent works looked at that and found that actually it may just be a statistical artifact, meaning that you have some background level of stunting, and as overweight prevalences increase in a country, just by chance, you're likely to have some households that have both an overweight mom and a stunted child. So it may not be a distinct phenomenon, but yet it's still occurring. And my interest in it was it's pointing us towards this transition that's occurring in these countries. Even if it's not a distinct phenomenon, it's still representative of this rising level of overweight. At the same time, you have this really high level of undernutrition in kids. So it's one other way to characterize this idea of this double burden. You could look at it from neighborhoods, from countries, at the individual level, which I'll talk about now. There's different ways of thinking about this. Okay, and if there's other questions, I'm happy to talk about it afterwards. I reserve slides.